always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And by the way, Kobe told you guys to move on. Kobe said, LeBron, take the mantle. Take it and run with it. Build off of this. And you guys still never accepted this guy. That's insane. You can't even listen to your GOAT? And I don't know. I'm going to stop ranting before the shit goes viral or whatever. But like, come on, man. Like, let's just try it. Or at the very least, just say you never liked him. Just like the part of this that's been really annoying is like, oh, well, we're going to put the goalposts here and he never wanted to be the third option. Well, he just signed up to be a third option. Well, he didn't want to play on Luka's team, or he didn't want to be with a ball dominant guard or whatever. Maxi is a ball dominant guard, and Embiid has the ball plenty, and Jaylen Brown just left the situation because he wants to be more ball dominant. Like, don't try to say it's anything other than you never mess with LeBron. If you want to say, like, I disagree, but if that's what it is, I'd respect you a hell of a lot more than just being like, just saying what it actually is. All right. I feel better.
You know, when I was interrupting you at the beginning, I was going to say, do you want me to go off camera for that?
Yeah,
and
I know.
I really should have probably forced that issue more.
I'm gonna regret that, but man,
I feel like unfortunately I'm gonna regret that. Like, I'm gonna be there and catching strays for this. I'm just, can you zoom in on Anthony when you post the clip, just like so that I'm not on screen when he's saying that all Lakers fans are idiots. And
no, I didn't say all Lakers fans are idiots. It's like,
I think that verbatim to me, that's what I heard. Was all
it's
Lakers
an incredibly vocal and small minority. But that minority are the dumbest people in all of sports fan bases. That's what I'll say. But anyway, like the
whole, no way like, somebody clips that quote out of context.
I'm so sick of them. I'm so sad because I hate it. Like, how often do you deal with it? Oh, you're not a real Laker fan. Like come
not
on.
As often as you. But
how old are you? Are you 13? Are we comparing like stages of Laker fandom? Insane.
I just want to address your biggest hater, Tiffany, in the comments really quick and just say, like, they keep bringing up, like, you know, you guys aren't serious and you guys are just the ones with a podcast and whatever. Like, you're more than welcome to, like, A, not watch, or B, start your own podcast. This is not like Anthony was not a Nepo hire. He built this podcast up by podcasting. So if you don't like what we're saying and you think that there should be like better takes out there, you know, feel free to do that.
But like the thing is, like, with the whole, all right, you aren't a real Laker fan. You aren't this, you aren't that. Harrison, how many years did it take for us to make even like a relatively sustainable amount of money doing this? I remember I was pumped. The first paycheck I got for writing about sports was $23.86. I remember when Silver Screen
$50, but I guess I'm just better than you. I don't.
Well, Rant Sports has since gone bankrupt. But like I remember when Silver Screen approached me about doing like post game shows for him. For like when Drew approached me, asked me if I wanted to do it, and I thought I was the richest man alive because he was offering me like $750 a month. Like the whole like you're just a lame with a podcast or whatever. It takes legitimate love of the industry, but far more so the Lakers to do this for this long and get kicked in the nuts as frequently as we are kicked in the nuts in this industry.
I was risking my life
then be told at the end, on the other end of it, you're not a true Laker fan. That's insane.
I, Not to mention, I was risking my life driving up the windy road to your old hotbox house where we would like podcast live in the shittiest audio environment of all time, while like almost overheating from heat stroke. And, you know, I didn't do all that just to get called a fake.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to and I like I said, I'm not gonna, other than the article I'm writing and reporting on to kind of outline how we arrived here at this place where LeBron was told to F off and where LeBron told the Lakers to F off and where both of them walk away from each other middle fingers high. Like, I'm gonna write about that, and then aside from that, I'm gonna let this thing go.
Are you allowed to say where you're writing about that? I heard you briefly mention this on a podcast.
What? No, it's like my Substack.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought that there, I was like, are we getting Anthony Irwin gonzo journalism in Rolling Stone of, you know, like I smoked weed with everyone involved in the LeBron Lakers divorce in Vegas, and here's what happened.
I don't think the reporting would be very clear minded. If,
probably not. Sometimes that's the best reporting, though.
They're really honest, but then my memory is really fuzzy. But yeah, let's talk about some of the ramifications of this decision, starting with Jonathan Kuminga, because I am fated and destined and cursed by this man to cover every waking moment of his free agency. Kuminga, his options, basically, as I understand it, are Cleveland, where he could maybe get the taxpayer mid-level exception, depending on the amount of money that they pay James Harden. Milwaukee has more money to offer, and Milwaukee is like where he can go just to get shots up and fire away and hope to get his next contract by way of sheer volume. And then there's the Lakers, whose offer, you know, as of a couple weeks ago was $10 million, but that's probably shrunk down to a minimum. That's I think that's because I don't see them as it stands right now, unless they increase their increase their offer to Atlanta to facilitate this. I don't think the Lakers are interested in or are going to be able to make that sign and trade work. So it just kind of depends on what Kuminga's decision is going to be here, what James Harden's decision is going to be, and which role he's kind of looking for. I did ask about Kyle Kuzma, especially if Kuminga does go to Milwaukee, and he's on an expiring contract. So, like, I think this is a weird thing to say, but the Lakers would have maybe been better off if Kuzma had another year on his contract, because then they could basically say, like, hey, we'll swap you Jared Vanderbilt's bad contract for Kyle Kuzma's bad contract. You know, with Kuz expiring this year, you would probably have to send expirings and draft capital to bring him back. You could try to pick those conversations back up with PJ Washington, but I'm told very definitively the Lakers don't have enough to trade for him as it stands right now. We're still waiting to see, you know, what happens with Bronny here. All the reports so far out of Philadelphia and out of Clutch and Rich Paul is that it isn't like they aren't a attached package, a combo package, LeBron and Bronny. So and the Lakers have made it known that they aren't just giving this kid away either. So, you know, they're looking to now, I guess the Sixers do have a trade exception from an Eric Gordon transaction that Bronny would fit into, and they have a ton of second round draft capital. So maybe, just maybe, that's where that's how this winds up, and the Lakers open up that roster spot that way. But yeah, like that's where things kind of stand here, Harrison. And like, I don't know. Do you feel any differently about Kuminga now that, you know, there is some real competition, I think, now?
Is there real competition?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you know, like the Cavs, maybe they can free up like you said, maybe the mid-level to go after him. Like, are we sure the Bucks are interested? And that's not an agent smokescreen, because if the Bucks really wanted him, they could have signed him at any time. You know, they don't necessarily. They could have ponied up and offered and made him an offer if they really valued him.
I think that of his options, the Lakers are probably Kuminga's top choice, like his highest.
Yeah.
Like, but they are also the team that can pay him the least. So, that's, you know, if he's interested in sacrificing to the tune of a veteran minimum contract, maybe. But I've been told throughout this process that the biggest factor here is that he wants the most money he can get. And again, these things change. And if it
probably
is should
have taken that Lakers
him,
offer a couple weeks ago in that case.
I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty clear.
I enjoyed the podcast that you did with Brad earlier this week, because I think Brad's always really insightful and like one of the most plugged in people on Atlanta. And I really respect his professionalism in keeping it together when you were like, you know, in his reaction when you were like, so do you think he should have just taken the Lakers offer at that time? And he was like, you know, reacting as if, you know, like, so somebody like, he's like, do you think they should have driven their car straight into that wall? Or like, he had just like watched someone die, basically make like the worst decision of their life.
I think that like it's abundantly clear. I mean, shit, Harrison, as Brad talked about too on the show, scroll back even further than that. You know, like, he should have taken those longer term money offers from the Warriors back when he could have taken those. Like,
yeah, it's
at every step along the way.
In a way, it's kind of sad, but it also, you know, based on what you hear about like him and his camp, like, seems to be based on their own genuine, possibly delusional self-belief and belief in, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, the basketball player and the star potential guy. And that's what, again, like, you know, stars don't necessarily want to play in Cleveland and Milwaukee. Like, if he's envisioning himself as a star, like, the Lakers are the place where it's like, you know, you're back with that, with all the fan base is giving you all the attention that you want. And, you know, all the eyes are on you again, which is why, I mean, to me, I'm just not, number one, I don't think that he's like actually worth getting so worked up about that you're like, hey, we're going to give up a pick swap to Atlanta for the right to pay Jonathan Kuminga when nobody else wants him to. I think at this point, you continue to call the bluff and you're like, hey, we'd love to have you. We have a big role for you. We think that we're your best basketball opportunity to make more money down the line. But, you know, this is what we can offer. And that's it. And like, it just depends on what you're prioritizing right now.
Well, I thought Kobe actually made an interesting point yesterday, though, because and I hadn't really thought about it from this perspective. The Lakers are telling him like how much they would like to have him and how he would start and how he would be this critical piece of their puzzle and all that stuff. And then he's like, oh, sick. Nice. You're going to pay me, right? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
I have $7 in my wallet. That's it.
Well, no, it started at $7 and now it's down to like 50 cents, you know,
like I got 50 cents and a coupon for half off at El Pollo Loco left over from the Dalton Connect promotions.
I have a free parking.
But we want you to start for us. Would you like to make less than Dalton Connect, who will be out of our rotation once again?
I have a free coupon or a free parking coupon at Toontown. Are you interested? Is Toontown still a thing? I'm good. Yeah, did Toontown I tell you? There.
Yeah.
I was talking to Kobe after the podcast yesterday, and I told him that I'm going back home and how I am going to Disneyland on a week from Monday with the fam. And I told him that like that's going to be the day that the news drops of Jonathan Kuminga, and the irony of that dropping while I am at Disneyland after making fun of Rob so much for being at Disneyland during key transaction cycles.
You know, look, it happens to the best of us. When the Lakers make a blockbuster acquisition, the rule is some Lakers content creator has to be at Disneyland. For the AD trade, it was me. And, you know, for something arguably just as momentous, the Jonathan Kuminga minimum contract signing, it will be you.
I was at when the LeBron news dropped, I was at a 4th of July party and I had to write about it for, was I still at Silver Screen then? I think I was.
I promise you, I did not let you write that night. I definitely
no, it was
wrote
that
the
day.
Story.
It was that day. Yeah. Where was I that day?
I'm pretty sure you were MIA and I was mad at you, to be honest.
No. I know specifically where I was. I was at, there's a hotel, or not a hotel. There's an apartment complex that's like right across the street from Anaheim Stadium where the Angels play. And there was a rooftop party for the 4th of July. And I brought my backpack because that was the year that we were all like waiting for the LeBron news to drop. I had been told that it was going to be the Lakers, and people were very confident at that point that it was going to be the Lakers. And he finally announced it, and I was at this like DJ'd 4th of July party. So I had to whip out my laptop, find a like even relatively quiet area behind the DJ stand to write about it, wherever it was that I was writing. And I'm pretty sure it was at Silver Screen, but I'm not totally sure. And then I got home later that night and wrote the Buzzed column about it. And I think it turned out okay. I think that was at Silver Screen now that I think about it. But anyway, the whole like Kuminga situation here is going to play out however it's going to play out. And the Lakers will or will not wind up with Jonathan Kuminga. I don't love their trade options. Like, I'm really nervous that Kuz is just straight up washed at this point in his career, even though he's like 30.
I was going to say, does he still play basketball? I thought he was like an AI tech investor now.
Well, I think he would go to the Lakers with more interest in podcasting with Gavin Newsom than in like starting for the Lakers, but who knows? I don't love that. Like, I love PJ Washington as a trade option, but I just don't think the Lakers have enough to get him. Now maybe it changes by way of the return for Bronny, and maybe the Lakers put like a Adu Thero in the trade or something like that, to try to sweeten the pot, by way of young prospect options that fit into Cooper Flag's timeline. But as it stands right now, like, it's probably between Jake LaRavia and Jonathan Kuminga for their starting power forward next year. And yeah, I don't feel great about either. Obviously better about Kuminga, but not particularly great, you know, because if he goes to the Lakers, especially on a veteran minimum contract, you know what he's going to be playing for.
Yeah. Well, but can you channel that? And I understand that I'm a little bit wish casting right now, but can you channel that into, you know, we know you want to get paid. You know, if you're JJ Redick, who has seemed to do a pretty good job of motivating guys and keeping guys bought in and stuff like that, can you make an argument to Jonathan Kuminga that is along the lines of, look, trying to play your way has resulted in you being on a minimum contract. If you would like to get paid, we need you to do what we need you to do. And we need you to fill in the athletic gaps. We need you to be the specific type of role player that actually gets paid now, because you're not getting paid as a star. You can go somewhere and put up empty calories. Teams are too smart. They're not giving you money for that. You have like the guys who get paid are the elite role players. And if you can morph yourself into that, then you will actually have much more options than if you come in as sort of a gunner and a ball stopper. And I think that is, you know, like that's the version of Kuminga that I would actually want. That's the version of Kuminga that the Warriors were pining for years. That's the one the Hawks tried to get, and it hasn't worked so far. So maybe it won't. But, you know, this you would think would have to be the wake up call offseason if he's on, he's looking around. Nobody wants to offer him the money or role that he wants. And you got to take a minimum from the Lakers just to sort of stay in the NBA and, you know, have options and have a starting role. And I think if that, if it's down to that, like that has to be a wake up call for you.
The, that point I think is worth kind of spending a little bit more time on, like what gets players paid, because, like
people always talk about, oh, he's got to go to his own team and get the ball and average 20 to get paid. It's like, you don't get paid for that anymore. The Celtics just traded Jaylen Brown because he was too excited about doing that. They're like, you enjoyed that a little too much.
But that it's funny because you hear like Danny Green talk about it. I think it was Danny Green had like a great take on it. And he was like, I came into the league as like a lottery pick, and I thought that like the path to sustained, you know, a sustainable career and these lengthy, like valuable contracts is by way of buckets and all of this. But then I got to San Antonio, and then I like started just knocking down corner threes, and I started playing better defense, and, you know, and that's when my career completely turned a corner. And I think that like with Kuminga, you know, he could follow that same path. But I do think that like if he is going to follow that same path, it has to be accompanied by a different agent and some better advice from the people around him than he has gotten to this point.
Sure, you could say that, but does he want that better advice and a better agent at this point? Like, if you're Jonathan Kuminga and you go agent shopping and you're going to people, you're going to Rich Paul, you're going to Mark Bartelstein, you're going to the power brokers, and you're like, get me to a team that wants to pay me as a star. I need you as the best agent in the game to get me to a team that wants to pay me and give me the role of a star. And they're like, well, good luck. You know, it's like, I can't do that. I am, I'm great, but there's only so much I can do, and that is not achievable.
Can I present?
And it's like, this guy who keeps leaking to Anthony Slater that the Lakers won't stop calling him, as if it's not obvious, you know, former Warriors reporter, where that is coming from, who covered the whole last Jonathan Kuminga standoff. You know, if like this agent keeps telling me that I'm going to make $50 million this summer. And, you know, maybe it's coming. Maybe the Lakers will dump that much salary to free up cap space again and offer me $30 million.
You want a funny series of events? Kuminga signs on the Lakers for the minimum, fires his agent, hires Rich Paul.
I mean, sometimes that's what happens is you have to come to Jesus, and it's like, you were telling me I could get this amount and this amount and this amount, and I am not. And so I am looking for new representation. But again, if you're going around, we know the agents recruit out from under each other all the time. And if you were talking to one of those agents or one of their people at their agency, and you were like telling them your goals, they're going to be like, well, we can't do that for you. So I don't, you know, this is not worth it.
Right.